Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, leaving the house on Pulteney Road, another interview with Stephanie Boddy.
Before the clouds conceal the stars, and the darkness became complete. Before the waters turned murky and blood.
Stephanie Boddy's family had a long history of conjuring spirits at the house on Pulteney Road. But what happened to the spirits and her family after they left the property? Were the spirits more attached to the property or the souls of her family? Before Stephanie was born, the man who did the conjuring of the spirits, her grandfather, passed away. At least that incarnation of his soul passed this earth. Did he make a surprising return to the world along with the spirits he conjured in a former life? Today, we hear about the life of Stephanie Boddy and her family after the house on Pulteney Road.
The reason why I wrote my second book, It Found Me, is because I didn't. It's very hard when you write a book that's based on fact, because with the paranormal and anything supernatural, that you can't make up an ending. You can't make a happy ending. You can't say, and they lived happily ever after, because it doesn't work like that, as you probably know. So many people got in touch with me and said, well, what happened next? So that's why I wrote the second book. The second book is predominantly about me and my immediate family, as opposed to being my grandparents, because obviously my granddad died. And soon after he died, I was born. Sort of around 10 months later, I was born early, and I was born on his actual birthday. My mum knew the whole way through her pregnancy that I would be early and I'd be born on his birthday. She always says it's because of this promise that he made, that if he died, then he would prove to her there was life after death. And he used to joke, I'll come back as one of your animals, because my mum always looked after her animals so well. And then she fell pregnant with me. There's 10 years between me and my brother, completely unexpectedly. And she just knew. She's always thought it. I am his way of saying, here you go. I've come back, but as your child. So that's kind of what my mum's always thought. And she sounds mad, but as I've grown up, not so much now, but when I was younger, just so many things happen that linked me to him. I think that's why I've had such an interest in him and his life and the paranormal, because much of his life was devoted to that.
Sure. Now, having that link, having, you know, the interesting coincidences, having the drive, some of the same, you know, interests, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you, do you that's what you said, that's what your mom believes, is that you were born on that day.
That's what my mom believes.
What about you? Well, I want to ask that question to you. What do you believe the connection is there, other than obviously him being your grandfather? Do you feel that there are other connections there that you have no control over?
Okay, so I'll tell you a couple of things that happened shortly after I was born. Mm-hmm. So my mum and dad got me christened, and at the christening, my dad took some photos. And at my sister's christening, which was 13 years prior to when I was christened, my granddad took the photographs, because he was a photographer. He developed all of his own photos. And basically, when he took photos at my sister's christening, they were, I can't think of the word, which is annoying, but you know when the negatives were exposed to light. So basically the photos didn't come out, and a lot of the photos my parents never saw. Mm-hmm. So my dad took some photos when I was christened, and he took them along to, there's a shop in England called Boots that get photos developed. And he took them in and he said, I'd like to get these photos developed, please. And they said, yes, gave him a ticket, come back next week. So he went back and he handed his ticket over and they said, one moment, we'll go and get your photos for you. And when they come back, they had two lots of photos and they said, my dad said, oh, no, I only bought in one lot to be developed. And they said, no, they said, we don't actually know where this other set have come from. And they're in a brown, envelope. So my dad took them, and long story short, they were the photos that were never seen at my Christmas sister's christening. They have no idea. The shop didn't know where they'd come from. Obviously, my parents didn't know. My mum was just like, she couldn't believe it. No one could believe it. And there's just, yeah, to this day, we have no idea how the shop ended up with these photos. I mean, some people say, oh, perhaps, you know, Dick took them there before he died. Maybe he tried to get them developed, but we have no idea. I very, very much doubt it. He lived in Woodford. My parents lived in a place called Sawbridgeworth, which is around an hour away. It just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And like I say, he didn't get them developed when he was alive. He couldn't. So, yeah, we just didn't know. We didn't know where the photos had come from. So that was one thing. As well, when I was probably 4 years old, my parents bought me a keyboard and I used to take it everywhere with me because I loved music. And then one day on the way home from, I don't know where we'd been, I was with my sister and my mum, I started playing a tune on the keyboard and all of a sudden they recognised it. And my mum was like, Jane, do you recognise what Steph's playing? And basically, my granddad was a musician. He used to write his own music. And I was playing one very slowly, but I was playing one of my granddad's songs. And when asked, you know, where did you hear that? I just said, oh, I don't know. And I used to sing loads of old songs from like wartime, things like that, very, very strange things. And then when I was around, it was just before my second birthday, my mum's mum was sadly hit by a car and she was killed. And I went over to the cemetery to visit her grave, which I've done forever. And I went with my mum and my granddad. And I was stood at the grave and I was at the time probably about 2.5, maybe three and a half. And I said to my mum, Mum, I want to play with the children. And I was pointing over kind of the back of the cemetery. So my mum said, I just ran off. And my mum said, she looked at me and she said to her dad, can you go and check on her? And they were kind of laying flowers at the grave. And my granddad had Parkinson's disease, so he was very slow anyway, but he started walking after me. And the lady who was tending the grave next to my mum, she stood next to my mum and she said, sorry, I'm going to have to say, she said, but look at your little girl. And my mum said, she looked up and I had my arms out playing Ring a Ring of Roses. And she said, where your daughter is now, that's the child's cemetery. And she said, my mum said, she just dropped everything and ran after her dad. And yeah. And when I got there, apparently I got really upset and said, you've scared all the children away. So there was things when I was little, I mean, that loads and loads of stuff that happened when I was kind of around that age, that made my mum think, yeah, something's not special. I'm far from special, but my mum knew that something, again, wasn't right, but you know what I mean. Something was there. So that's kind of why she always thought that there was some connection between me and my granddad.
Do you have any recollection of these incidents of playing with kids that no one else is seeing or anything like that when you look back on your childhood?
I don't remember that. Probably the first thing that I remember happening to me. So my mum and dad bought a house in Sawbridgeworth. It's down this little cul-de-sac. And when she bought the house, the people who lived in it before her lived there, I think, for around 14 years. And when they moved out, they told my mum, they said, we're not telling you to frighten you or anything like this. And the sale had already gone through. They said, but basically we had a new fireplace fitted. And in the fireplace, we found a gravestone. And it's a gravestone of a little girl. And they said, we're taking it with us. So my parents were kind of like, that's, you know, all to their own kind of thing. So the first thing I remember was probably when I was around 6 or 7, and I used to hear people calling my name. Bearing in mind, I knew nothing about the gravestone. Obviously, my parents wouldn't tell me that. But I used to hear a little girl calling my name repeatedly. I used to tell my mum, and she, at the time, I just thought she'd ignored me and was thinking I was crazy. And then one time I got up, because it was in the middle of the night, I got up. And I opened my door because my bedroom was at the end of a hallway, quite a long hallway. And one of the spare rooms was at the end of the hallway. And I opened my door and there was a little girl, and she was dressed in kind of like a white and blue outfit. She looked very like, at the time, I just thought she had like a puffy dress on, how I would have described it, with an apron. And anyway, I ran back to bed. I was, you know, quite scared. Got back into bed, probably hid under the covers. And things like that continued. I heard scratching on my window. I used to hear people running around in the house. And anyway, then I found out about this grave, probably when I was more like 10 years old, my mum told me, because I was maybe sort of, again, around 8. And I know I was younger than that. I was younger than that. This was probably, again, when I was around 4, because I don't remember this. But my mum and sister, again, were looking after me. And I went out in the garden and I started digging the garden up. And my sister came out and said to me, Stephanie, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to help the little girl. She's stuck under the ground. And I dug up the garden. But I don't remember that. But obviously my mum kept picking up on me saying, I can see a little girl. I can hear a little girl. And yeah, just more and more stuff happened to me. The older I got.
Wow. Now, when they make me understand the grave situation, they took the grave, the stone, the marker.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They took. So yeah. So you know, like when you go to a cemetery and you've got the headstone kind of thing. Yeah. They felt that it brought them luck. And they said, we've been so happy in this house. We feel like we've had so much luck in this house. We're taking it with us. And at the time, my parents didn't really think anything of it. They didn't argue. Yeah. You know, they just thought, you know, if that's what you've got to do. But when I got older and I found this out, I did research, the local library, and I found out my mum already had, she'd been told by people who'd lived in the village for a long time, that where my parents live, Greenstead, is actually built on a old pig farm. And there was a massive, massive fire there years and years ago, and loads of animals and children died. So we don't know, but from what I remember seeing, and I mean, I've seen and heard stuff in the house for years and years. Mm-hmm. We think that perhaps the little girl is the spirit of one of the children who was killed in the fire.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now, I know we're going to kind of jump here with this question, and we'll go back in time. But as you got older, and as you realized, you know, they have this grave marker that they took from another location for luck, essentially, was the conversation. It's not like you got the, you know, the rabbit's foot keychain at the county fair. It's like, let's take the grave marker.
No, exactly. Well, they just kept it in their attic. They just kept it in the attic because we've seen them since. But we think maybe it's disturbed something. I mean, you can't go and take something. She's resting there. We don't know whether she was buried under if they've taken the headstone away and replaced the fireplace. If she was buried directly under that, then, you know, you could be disturbing all sorts of things.
Sure. So when they moved or kept the grave marker, I just want to understand, this was from a previous house, and then they moved and took the stone with them to a new location, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So my parents bought a house.
Okay.
In Sawbridgeworth, and the people who lived in the house that my parents bought took the gravestone from the house that my parents now, they're still there, still live in.
Okay.
They took it with them.
Okay. Was there ever any conversation later of, let's get this grave marker back to where it originally was?
Do you know? No. I don't really know why either.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.